The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. Look at that brand new background he's got. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I love having him on. We also do a show called Bite by Bite right after the show. So make sure you check it out, specific to Feeding America and the Alabama Food Bank. Oh, first of all, how are you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, doing well. I'm in a better frame of mind, let me say, than good. I was last week when I was still, very affected by the Charlie Kirk shooting, and just wrapping my mind around how evil our society is at times, and or how evil it is, how it manifests itself at times.
Let me start right there, because you went on, if you missed the podcast, I would strongly urge you go back and listen to it, because it was very enlightening. Depending on what side of it you're on, it was great to hear someone unload, because I think your feelings towards this particular situation were, a lot of other people had the same feelings but didn't know how to put it into words, and I think you did that very eloquently. I got a friend of mine who, we had a meeting on Wednesday, and she couldn't stop crying. And I was like, what is going on? She said, this Charles Kirk thing just really, it really just destroyed me, and blah, 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 blah. Had no clue who Charles Kirk was. And I said, so you followed him? You listened to him? No. She was just totally consumed by how this thing was so absorbed and so, in your face it was. First of all, he was an influencer. He wasn't a 62-year-old Democrat from Utah. He was a 31-year-old father or two, has, a beautiful wife, and was really, and he'd been doing this since he was like 16 or 17 years of age. And she said more than just what he stood for. It was just a kind of a status of where she believes our country is in. And I think that's kind of what you were. And I just kind of wanted to broad that out and kind of smooth the edges out a little bit on how you felt about it. Because it was one of those things that was so in your face. A lot of people did see it live. When your children are telling you about shootings before you can tell them, there's something to it. And so with that said, I didn't know if you wanted to add anything else, but we did have several emails that we were going to get into.
I will say, in the past week, it's just like any event that affects you as time goes on. You can reflect on it with maybe less emotion. Some of the things that have come out, is you really, when I say I followed Charlie Kirk, I knew who he was. I've listened to him. I like him. I agree with a lot of what he has to say. What I didn't realize was how much he had captured the hearts of a lot of people on campus, a lot of youth on campus. And we've seen some, the university system has been radicalized going all the way back to the 60s. And it was very intentional back in the 60s, you would hear stories about Berkeley and, Cal Berkeley, but It was a breeding ground for coming in, and the idea was nothing's off limits, and you can break free from your traditional values. You can question God. You question everything. And so it was a free speech mecca. And it's so ironic that once the vast majority of professors are known to be very liberal in their worldview. And so it's so interesting that the dynamic became, you're not allowed to speak freely. We don't want the counterbalance to our ideas. They demanded, when it was more of a conservative traditional value system inside of the universities, they were the alternative view, and they demanded space, and they got it. Okay, so then the positions flipped. Now, progressivism was the leading element with no limits, except if you were, we saw really during the BLM movement, where, you know, there were space for everything's divided up by race. Mm-hmm. If you were a person of color, you got these spaces that were free of white people. Like, we couldn't see that that was just clear racism and clear separation using race. Everything, every issue you looked at had to be done through the lens of race. Charlie Kirk saw this going all the way back to age 18, but what he said was a lot of people have just given up on the, a lot of conservatives have just had just given up on the universities. And he said, look, I'm going to go in a t-shirt and I'm just going to set a table up. And if I get five people that can just, will just come and engage me in conversation. So he'd been doing it for years. And what he really mastered was talking about issues and engaging, like, no subject is off limits. I'm not going to berate you. I'm not going to trash you. I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to belittle you. What I'm going to do is espouse my conservative principles and say, if you disagree with that, then, you know, let's shake hands after it's over with. But I want to give you space to have your views. And so what happened, though, was it became so effective. He was so effective about counter arguing and showing sometimes the hypocrisy, but lots of times just the lunacy of some of the values that were being projected. And he was so effective. He just won. And basically the Republican, the RNC stopped putting money into universities because they just given up. And Charlie Kirk basically just took that movement over. And, you know, Goldwater, going all the way back to the 60s, Goldwater appealed to young people. Reagan appealed to young people. And Charlie Kirk, I just didn't fully understand the impact of how many people he brought along who voted for Trump. And now they say Gen Z may be one of the most conservative generations that there is. Having said all that, people still want to take a snippet and they'll call him racist. You know, the normal thing, xenophobe, racist, homophobe, all that kind of stuff. And since then, there is Ruben is his last name. I'm drawing a blank on the first name. He's gay. He's a conservative. He used to be very radically left. He's a conservative now. He's gay. He's been married to the same man for 10 years. And Charlie Kirk and his wife had them over. And Charlie Kirk, there's even videos of people getting up going, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to stand up against homosexuality. And he goes, you know, he said, I don't agree with that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But what people do in they're expressing freedom. Sure. They're expressing, I don't necessarily agree with. So he was not only not condemning and not divisive, he shook hands with everybody regardless. And it was very much the idea of, let's talk about it. But just the mere thought of talking about things puts people so on edge. It caused all sorts of radicalism to come back out in the wake of his death.
We used to always say, don't talk about religion, sex, or politics.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought don't ask, don't tell worked. I don't care if you're gay. You want to be in the military? Yeah. I don't care. You shoot just like I shoot. You go protect me. I protect you. Blah, blah, blah. You're on a basketball team with me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know about it. It's not something you need to put a sign up. I don't do it because I'm a heterosexual. You don't do it because you're a homosexual. It worked. And for whatever reason, people feel like, well, I have to let people know how I feel. Well, you know, you don't. We have gotten so away from that. That's why we had partitions at when we voted. So people would not see what we were voting for. Hell, I was in line at the last time and people were like, well, who are you voting for? Who are you voting for? You would have never done that 20 or 30 years ago because it was private. Yeah. It was respected. You didn't, unless you wanted to get out there and talk about party lines. I think the one thing that for people that didn't understand Charlie Kirk, and I'm not going to pretend I did, I'm a unifier. Yeah. I'm not a confrontational guy. I'm not. I probably don't say enough. I don't stand up for myself when I probably should. there's a couple of times when I've gone off and it's felt pretty doggone good. But there seem to be too many mouths, whether there's quiet, loud, big stick, small stick, that are in our faces constantly now because of social media and our news cycle moving over so over that are constantly wanting to debate things. And yeah. And it's debate, 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 debate. And it's all about, I disagree with you, let's talk about it. And I don't know why we have to have those things. We're all human. We're all different. We all have different religious backgrounds. We all have different sexualities. We all have different teams we like. And for us to have to sit there and let everyone know exactly how we feel about everything is not the way we were created.
Well, let me.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it's real easy to go back.
A homosexual level, for instance, I don't want to know people. I don't want you leading with what your sexual preference is because I don't want to view you through that lens. You're a person with your own intellect, your own ideas. Now, having said that, when I see things that are damaging to my beliefs or that I think damage the culture, then that leads me to want to speak out to give a not to win an argument, not to berate them, but to it's the same kind of thing. If you think there's a falsehood out there that's damaging the people who are hearing it, you want to give a counterbalance, and at least they have both sides of argument. And I think Charlie Kirk going on to campuses was the counter argument to the dominant liberal and even anti-God radicalism I won't touch on this. This has led to, it's so ironic. So let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert being canceled, Jimmy Kimmel being pulled off. And people are screaming.
Colbert was actually kicking off because of his numbers, not because of anything that was said.
That's right, but he's claiming. They're screaming.
And also, Jimmy Kimmel's owned by Sinclair, which is also wanting to buy a bunch of ABC stations, and so they want to get in the front pocket of the FCC. So there's continue. We know those things.
I firmly believe it was a business decision. Sure, that's the key difference in university space. I don't want government. They can't do it. They can't prevent somebody from a free speech. You're free in our world against governmental arrest, persecution, or whatever, for whatever view you have. I am free to do that. However, if I choose to go work for a company, I have to embrace that company value and understand that I am a representative of that brand. So if I'm out there screaming, F you, I'm glad Charlie Kirk's dead, I want many more of them dead, that's not a free speech. Nobody's arresting you for that.
No.
But as a company owner, I don't want you wearing my brand and representing my brand, so I'm going to fire you. People go, oh, yeah, what happened to the free speech? It's not a free speech. That's always been a principle that there's accountability, especially when it comes to the workplace, and people are free to run their businesses and be associated with who they want to. Nobody's arresting Jimmy Kimmel, but Jimmy Kimmel for ever since going all the way back to 2016, one solid hour, just I hate Trump, everything about Trump sucks, yeah, he's a buffoon, all that kind of stuff. Same thing with The View. They've been doing it for a year. For years on, 10 a.m., I guess, Central Time, they get on there and they do it every single day. Some of the most radical, lunatic stuff, and they're free to do that. But ABC, it's no doubt that some of the people being brought into CBS, CNN, are more middle of the road. They're not hardcore conservatives. They're more middle of the road, and they're looking for a balanced approach. And so it wasn't ABC who chose to do it themselves, but all those that they syndicate, like you said, Sinclair and others, came back and said, we're not going to show it on our stuff. So it was a business decision to pull him.
Yeah, it really wasn't ABC. I mean, those ABC stations are owned by independent owners.
That's right.
And they're the ones that said, listen, we're not going to show Jimmy Kimmel on our 45 stations. Then ABC's like, well, wait a minute. We send you millions of dollars and how our commercials going to run. Next thing you know, it turned out to be a business decision. I think it's really interesting. You're right. We can say and do whatever we want. And that's one of the disciplined, obedient things that a democracy has to deal with. We're given free will, free reins to do and say whatever you want, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be ramifications for it, right? You can run
absolutely
up and down, you can run up and down with a flag in the back of your car. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to do, but it doesn't mean you're not going to have some type of ramifications. Unfortunately, even from a hatred standpoint, an assassination, which is I never want to see anyone lose their life over any ideologies. I just they're God's gift, and I'll let him handle that. I'll let him deal with that. That being said, the one thing that I think that we're missing right now in this country is leadership. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, the Alabama football team. I did enough sports radio where whenever a team was really good and they had a lot of talent, but they just weren't playing like it. It was because some of those players who weren't indoctrinated into that culture of whatever team, we'll say Alabama was, didn't have a guy to go to vent, to talk to, didn't have a guy to sit down and say, listen, this is how we do things at the University of Alabama. And I would say they're in that situation right now. The quarterback is not a leader. If you want to be a leader, that's one thing. If you're in order to be a leader, you have to have followers. We have to have followers in this world. We have to have leaders. Okay.
Who are you saying is not the leader?
The quarterback. And the reason I'm saying that is
of because, our country.
I'm using Alabama football as an example right now. I'm using Alabama football as an example. People are like, why doesn't this team look like they don't look like the Alabama? They're loose. They're playing like junk. They don't have any pep in their step. And I'm saying it's because they don't have good leadership. I'm not saying they don't have a decent coach, but they don't have a leader inside that locker room to have a discussion about how this is how we do things. And I think
that's what I'm saying. Who's that a metaphor? I'm asking, who's that a metaphor?
I think at every level, you could start a Facebook group with 55-year-old divorced women with blonde hair, with dogs that like to go bowling on Wednesday nights, and you'll have 50,000 people join your group. Everyone wants to be part of something bigger, right? And I think because of that, we're all wanting to find that person. Not to say they're not leaders, but I think that's where Charles Kirk was really, please listen to me, hear me out. I'm not saying this, I'm not saying it was a cult situation, but that's how cult people do it. People that are involved in cults go, God, I can't believe I actually was in this organization for 5 years. Well, how did I not see this? How did I allow this guy to sleep my wife for 5 years? Because we are just so many sheep that are looking for this bigger, more logical idea that we, and a lot of times it's because we're lost. It's biblical. We're lost children. And so I'm just wondering, and I know I'm throwing something totally.
So here's my counter to that.
I'm not saying that to be countered, but by any stretch, I'm just saying, I think we have a leadership problem in this country. And I think it starts at the top.
All right. Well, so here's my response to that. I'll say this. I think you're right, but I don't think it's the leadership. I think what happened was, going back to 2000, conservatives, especially white male, of which I will attest to having this, was absolutely shut down without a voice. Yeah. We're told, sit down and take your medicine. And so anytime you spoke up for either traditional values or you said, wait a minute, you're just bringing in a new form of racism. You're making me the bad guy for a whole host of reasons, whether it was white privilege or cultural appropriation or your ancestors also own and own and own. So they reduced the white male, the majority of this country, the largest segment of this country, to where they couldn't have a voice. And it's people like, you know, whether you agree with Trump's policies or not, the one thing that people do admire is Trump did stand up to that and say, you know, cancel me, but this is what I think is right. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be the microphone for that. Well, Charlie Kirk wasn't. I mean, I think they were aligned politically. Charlie Kirk's approach was a much more, it was just sometimes as firm as Trump, but it really came from a place of love, which is, you know, he saw the deterioration. He spoke about lots of times. I've seen several interviews with a black student, 19 years old, and that black student would say, "Yeah, I'm at a disadvantage." And it would be, "Well, why are you at a disadvantage? You're at a university. You're here. If you came from poor income, you have grants, you have student loans, you have access to some of the greatest education in the world. What is it that I can do?" They'd say, "Yeah, but you have white privilege." And he'd go, "Okay, well, what is it that I can do that you can't do?" Well, they never could. Then they get into, "Well, you just don't know what it's like to walk around as a black person." Well, there may be some truth to that. But the idea, they're so ingrained oftentimes, when I say they, people of color, and it's not applied to everybody, but sometimes they are ingrained with, they are limited. And so they're taught that they're less, and that white people think that they're less. Mm-hmm. And so they come up sometimes with a chip going, "I just want to tell them," and we're like, "We don't think you're less. Where did this even come from?" What it gave us an opportunity to do, this is why I think you've seen so many people rise up after Charlie Kirk's killing, was our voices that were squelched for several years out of fear of being canceled in cancel culture. Now that wave is coming back very powerful and saying, Charlie Kirk and other people have stood up, and now I have the courage to stand up as well. And I think that's why. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who's standing up speaking is that I agree with, or that I think they're doing it with the right heart and the right spirit. But it's just very ironic to me that how can everybody of, I mean, the big, the loudest voices, the BLM movement was all about shutting down speech and all about shutting down individualism and all the things that stand out. And we just took it. We swallowed it year after year after year. And the pendulum has swung back. And now they're crying, "Wait a minute, where's this cancel culture coming from?"
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel was on the leading edge of promoting cancel culture for anybody who did anything wrong. He was right in line with it. And all that happened was he turned around and got a dish of his own medicine of what he was advocating for the past 4 years. Now he's just the target of it. And now it's being proclaimed as being unfair. Well,
and his numbers sucked, and his show sucked too. I mean, it wasn't a very good show.
That was the underlying issue.
I mean, it really was. I mean, he ranked fourth or fifth out of whatever it was. But I guess my point was, and so by speaking with you, and I respect you, and I love hearing you speak about things like this because you forced me to look at things differently. I would just say that if you want to be in this format and you want to be a great patriot, you want to make this country great, do your homework, listen to your heart, do it in a loving, supportive way. Hate doesn't have 100%. To be behind everything. You can have unity behind this thing. You know, I started this group, this TMIY thing at my church the other day. And the first thing is, we're not talking politics. We're not going there. If we cannot talk in unity, if you want to talk about it outside, fine. But if we cannot find some unity in this room here, and I just think it's super important that, again, we remember the golden rule. If you can't say something nice. And there's just so many people out there, though, that don't know what they're talking about, that listen to the sound clips, that listen to the little snippets. That's all they hear. And they're like, they're like, "Well, did you hear what he said? This is pure hatred." Da, 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 da. No, it's purely taken out of context. Now with AI, we got people putting words in our mouths. We don't even know if this shit's real. And I would say, you know, people are like, "Well, then stop getting your news from online." You know what I mean? I mean, people are always like, "I don't know what's on." Well, then go to the big four. Cause for the most part, I know Fox leans one way. I know NBC leans another, but for the most part, I believe in their, I believe in their, reporting. And I think for the most part, it's fairly factual. I realize they have tangent shows out where they have people that want to do op-eds and everything else. Rather than hop on board because Taylor Swift is telling you to vote a certain way, do your homework. Yeah. Do your homework and find out why you feel the way you do. And find out why maybe you don't like someone in that particular case. So info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We do have one email here, and I'll get to it. And it's Jimmy in Southside. And it kind of goes along with the same thing. Heard your show last week. Thought it was fantastic. Thank you for giving us a voice and allowing this type of radio to be broadcast. And his whole thing was the word hatred. We use the word hatred so much now. Maybe we're not as Bible belt as we need to be, or Bible based as we need to be when we do sit down. In a lot of cases, I think a lot of people will walk into a room and they don't read their room first. They don't know who they're talking to or who they're talking about before they feel like they have to let everyone know how they feel. And sometimes, you know, if I see a guy who's a Democrat and I'm a Republican and he's sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire, hell yeah, I'm going to help him at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Come on. I mean, please.
Well, I think how we got there, probably what he's referring to is that when conservatives have stood up to espouse a different view that brings accountability to someone's life, people have classified that, particularly on the left, as hate, mm-hmm. hate speech. So I'll give you a quick example. So you see a lot of black conservatives who've come out and they've talked about the breakdown of the, and we touched on that a little bit, the breakdown of the African-American family, and where it's 75% of young black males are raised without a father in the home. And so then the question is, well, why won't black men stay in the home? Why all the deterioration of that culture? Because it's very interesting. It's not about skin color. You do not see that in Africa. You do not see that in other places. You don't see it with other ethnic people. It's primarily, it is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but you don't see it to the extreme levels in any other culture as you do black Americans. And so there's something specific, and you can actually trace this back to government intervention back to the 60s. Statistically, you can track that and show how. And so like when somebody, a young woman gets pregnant, African-American woman, she doesn't have anybody there to take care of her. She instantly goes on Medicaid, doesn't have to pay any. There's no cost to it. She has the baby, she gets good health care, and she may have 3, 4, 5, 6, whoever. And if somebody stands up and says something, it's not hateful to say, well, you know, you're enslaving yourself to poverty because you have to, you can't pay for daycare. You're going to have to stay at home, take care of these children. You keep having children year after year after year, no different fathers. Oh. And to stand up and say that's harmful to your children, people will say that most people would say, yeah. I mean, most people, I think the vast majority would say, yeah, that's not preferred. Some people would categorize that as hate speech and bigoted and all of those things. So what happened was we heard that for so long that when you can't deal with the argument, when you can't look inwardly and just look at an argument and say, yes, that makes sense. But what they do is they oppose you, but they can't oppose you factually. So what do? They yell, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're a whatever it is, xenophobe, on and on and on, in an effort to assassinate your character and nullify of the effect of what you're actually saying. And look, I've been through it a thousand times where to me, I was in love trying to communicate something because I thought somebody was being hurt by it. I cared about that they were being hurt by it. And if they were a person of color, or if they were a woman, I can be called misogynistic. And I'm like, yeah. I'm not talking down to women. I'm trying to help somebody who's in a tough situation. What I'm saying just may highlight what's broken in their life, or it may be bringing accountability because everybody, including myself, needs accountability in their life. And when people don't have it and you bring it, oftentimes you get all sorts of terrible things said about you. And I think that's what he's saying is good not to have to hear that it's hate speech, that because most of us just look at it as that's just common sense. It's not hate speech. It's not good for anybody to have multiple children. I don't care what race you are, multiple children without fathers, where a mother is raising family in a poverty environment. It's not good for them. It's not healthy. It's not setting them up for success in life. It's not hate speech. It's just a fact.
Amen to that, brother. I appreciate you. Mission Mind, keep your mind, your mission, your mind. If you got some emails, we got a ton of emails. We could probably do some more next week on this. I don't think this topic's going to be going away anytime soon. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. BBB is up next right here on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.